Nick Young, we have begun. How are you?
I'm good, how are you?
You doing your thing? I'm doing okay.
Yeah.
What chapter are you doing?
The fifth one.
The fifth one. Please, go ahead.
Hey! The hand was inside the puppet head. Chris gritted his teeth and tried to talk without moving his vulture-like lips. Linda was used to suppressing her hopes and dreams, but she wasn't about to suppress her lips from moving for no dummy. Chris took the tire iron from his Zafu-induced hands and showed it to Lindy. Moonlight sauntered through the window, illuminating the room and leaving an indelibly British stain on Lindy. "You pillock," she cried out. "Not me. I'm an American. I'm an asswipe," Chris insisted. But his voice sailed through the air like a penis hitching a ride on a vital Sassoon tumbleweed. "What's that salty taste on the bathroom towels?" Lindy exclaimed with the sensitivity of a dad. "Really? Jesus Christ, who's that in charge of tar and feathering around here?" "Not me," Christopher cried, melting out small doses of Ritalin to his camel. "What are you giving that poor fucking dromedary?" Lindy asked, not looking to acknowledge the camel's existence. "Why don't you give some love to Pomolov?" "No, I, you know you're a piece of work," Chris told her, and flew at her like his hair was on fire, reaching for the window. Lindy sidestepped him. "You better not light my hair on fire with that shit. I'm going to bed." "Fuck you," Chris said courteously. He had rope and knew how to use it. Lindy returned to sitting with a dummy. Later, without getting dirty, she'd grab Chris's camel and make it tell her the secret of the camel toe. Chris was only newly regular, so he sat on the commode looking at the window. The penultimate hubris was that now he cared for a dummy, but his brilliant eyes came with a situation comedy wife and a Fiji mermaid who didn't know her fin from a hole in the ground. "Why am I pretending that my life has some meaning?" Chris asked himself as if his floating the Nina, the Pinta, and the self-importantaria weren't cost-effective enough.
It's finished.
He subscribed to Ricardo Montalban Monthly and to Sensen Komodo Dragon Daily, and that was for his camel. Later, he'd vote Bob Costas most likely to be tortured and barbecue lamb over a Fiji mermaid fire. But on special occasions, he'd look at himself more deeply. On these occasions, he'd close his eyes and tap on his head three times, imagining a distorted sunrise, and then laughing when the word meaning floated by. Meaning. Ha! Meaning. Ha ha ha! Cayenne pepper was sure to follow, so Chris shouted, "Incoming!" and started writing the word Corpunza in pencil on a quesadilla. The cheese squeezed out. The cheese was very perverse and very persnickety, but what would make cheese persnickety? During the full moon afternoon, Lindy and Chris sat fuming in school despite the fact that school was out, and they were supposed to be singing in the Pasta Primavera concert. It was already 5 p.m. by the time they legged it home, and the apparition stopped appearing, telling them their dad was running the car in the closed garage. "We'd better get our all-tempera cheeser assets over to the garage today sometime," Chris exclaimed. But first he needed to stop by the kitchen to tell his mom a joke he had heard at school. "So I'm dying, suiciding, and that jackass Chris does what?" Mr. Powell said, as a cold goo sat congealing in his cerebellum. "He's totally ruined the only half of the day I have off work from." From work. "Was the joke at least funny?" Linda asked. "Abominable," Mrs. Powell contested. "It was about some other dad who was about to die from deep freezing his cerebellum. I heard that one when I was in school and laughed my eyes out then," Mr. Powell said, trying to wipe the grime from every fiber of his being. "That's just super." "Didn't it just slay you to the core?" Mrs. Powell asked, and then she sat on her hands and tried to eat a great big bowl of meow mix. "Oh, geez," Lindy scoffed, opening a bag of nachos and sucking on a liter of Coca-Cola. "Yes, I've got them right where I want them, singing rude songs about Yugoslavians," Chris said. "Very sad rude songs. If these idiots thought about something other than their ovaries or their testes, but no. We have to think about our dicks all the time, because that is the tradition. Mr. Pell stopped by the bathroom, whipped out his dick, and started urinating all over the sink and floor, eyes as big as Lori's. I can pee wherever and wherever the fuck I want, and his lame ass passed gas to prove the point. This did not impress the wife. Moron, she grunted, sucking on the cab end of a dojo. Chris took the escalator and found his face crushed on a milk carton. He was so tired that he started writing on the wall, Lindy and God sitting in a tree, K-I-S-S-I-N-G. First come vultures, then comes baggage, then comes nothing new. But as his thoughts floated through the window, so did his attention span. He was gyro sobering into miasma, and the only thing ahead of him was one hell of a surprise. Oh no! He was a gringo with a sombrero, a bolo tie, and a lag bolt body. Chris raised his hands to his mouth and knew that he couldn't see what he couldn't believe. Palmolive had seated her silly self in front of the window and was watching the sun set like she had done it every day. And she had sent out email to have other dummies join this sunset insurrection. She raised her hand like the door on DeLorean. What's all this pretend shit? Chris said in a dummy voice.
Nick Young. Thank you.
Thank you, Max Streaming.